That was
good
a good
luck titling this
that.
One.
Yeah.
Good luck titling this one. That's probably what you're going to call it.
Call it. I hope it. Kev's yeah. episode about the Stanley Hotel and Kendrick tries not to one up everybody.
I think I ran out of words at one point in the title, but you know. Never sounds right, but it always works out in the end. Welcome to Sit and Sock, everybody. I'm Kendrick.
That's the German pronunciation. I'm Kyle.
I'm Jim.
Sit and Sock?
Kevin.
I've been calling it that for a while now, and I don't remember when I started, and now I can't seem to stop. Sit and Sock.
We should do that thing, the whole podcast, where we all like talk over each other and then stop to let the other people talk, but all at the same time.
Oh, you mean a Zoom meeting?
Like, it's just like us. It's like a cacophony.
It's okay,
silence.
And then we start to talk about it, and then
it stops.
And then we start to...
Okay, that's got to be the most annoying thing ever.
That's too real. That's too fucking real. That's, I'm not okay with that. That's my life. That's literally my life. Right.
So Kevin has a story for us about us. It's actually great, because by the time this comes out, it'll probably introduce the season, you know?
It'll be pretty close.
He had his anniversary lately, and so did Joe, by the way. Let's not forget that Joe also got
married around. Yeah, congratulations, guys.
Yay, we did it.
And your associated gals.
Woo-hoo. But, Joe, I don't know what you did for your anniversary, but Kevin stayed at the Stanley Hotel, which I don't think any of us have done in this group.
No.
So, I've been there, but I've not slept there.
Kevin, go.
Okay. Yeah, so Meg and I have been married for 10 years now.
Oh, hey.
And we thought what fun it would be to actually stay at the Stanley on our 10-year anniversary. And we did.
Well, that was a cool story, everybody. Let's move on
woo-hoo!
To the next.
Moving on. No, it was pretty cool. It was a little weird because, to enter, you had to have a mask on, you know, and all that, blah, blah, blah. But we did, like, a tour, and it was, like, very limited number tour. But they went around and showed you, you know, what rooms were haunted or supposedly haunted, where the action happens, and told about Stephen King and how he was writing the books or what inspired him, I guess.
Did they tell you about, like, the people who made the hotel and, like, how they came here to, like, try to not suffer from tuberculosis as much? And
yes. Like, yeah. Okay. The dude Stanley, he was about to die from tuberculosis. I mean, he was on the edge of death, but somehow they said, hey, you have 3 months to live. And this was the 1800s, so who knew how actually long he had. But he ended up living from... he was like in his 30s or 40s when they diagnosed him. But he ended up living to like his 80s or 90s, so...
Supposedly the thinner air in like various places in the mountains helped...
Yep,
yeah, the dry
exactly.
air helped
dry,
TB
thin.
Not fuck you up as much.
Well, and he was obscenely
rich. That's a scientific
rich.
Term.
Obscenely rich for then. He was the one that... he created that paper that they used to take pictures, where or that whole system where they
like the lithograph stuff.
Yeah, the whole flash, the big flash. Yeah. So used to take like 40 minutes to do pictures, and then he created that flash system where it would take like 10 seconds or something. That's why he was so rich. Well, he didn't. The Stanley wasn't his house. The Stanley was his like rich friend's guest house. So he had his own cabin, like 6-bedroom cabin up the hill. But he wanted to invite all his super rich friends to Colorado because it was beautiful, and it's how he survived his disease and this and that. So he built the Stanley Hotel, which wasn't a hotel. It was originally his guest house. But, yeah, they tell you about, like, how everything was handmade, like all the wooden, like, structures and everything was built by hand. Back in the 1800s. So, but yeah, then, you know, the whole thing with Stephen King happened, and he had this haunting night, and it inspired the Shining, and it was pretty cool. We got a little tour, and it was awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, and we stayed in one of the supposedly haunted rooms, the one that gets all the action. One of two. There's two of them that get, like, real haunted action. And we stayed in one, and we didn't really see anything. We got no action ourselves.
Because you were blind?
Maybe. I don't know. The door rattled one time, and I was kind of freaked out by that. But besides that, it was pretty docile.
Did you talk about how the room that you're in was supposed to be haunted by, like, a cowboy ghost?
Yeah, he's like this old cowboy, and he's not a fan of dudes. and often guests would report him going over and wake, and the lady would wake up, and this cowboy dude would be leaning over to give her a kiss on the forehead. Or he would be pacing back and forth at the bottom of the bed, and you'd have to say, "Sir, could you please leave?"
Sir, we need you to stop ghostbustering the employees.
That's like the most gentle ghost I've ever heard of in any sort of ghost claim encounter. I've never heard one that just gives you a gentle kiss on the forehead and paces around anxiously. And it's like, "Hey,
bring
could
it up.
You just like go?" And he's like, "Oh, yeah, sure. Sorry."
They're like, "No, you're like people are like darling don't bring it up because they're like, man, I don't want like to lose this ghost. Like, what if I start talking about it and then I don't get like served breakfast every morning by my living ghost or something like that?" You know, like they're like the ghosts that are assholes. You're like, "Yeah, get them out of here. Like, this is ridiculous. They keep hiding my kids from me in the walls, and I don't like that."
Well, yeah, and we were on the fourth floor, so we had like the tip top and the very like corner. So like we had like the super cool windows in our room and. And I guess it was, his room is the one that, it was one of the ones in the top level.
That scared me so much. And it was like so appropriate
because
Kevin was like describing the thing and I was like, "Oh God, oh God, Kevin, you son of a bitch. You got me."
What's great is I'm going to edit those out. So,
you can't edit that one out now. Cause it's part of the podcast. It's happening.
Scary.
Oh, shit. I'm just going to make you sound really weird.
The fourth floor was originally like the
suicide floor.
It was just an attic. But that was where they send the kids, because when in the 1800s, if you're very rich, your kids can be seen but not heard. So they would just kick them up to the attic, basically. And the other haunted room was the one with the nanny, and the door was open so they could keep watch on the kids just running around this massive open floor, jacking around, because that's what kids did. But the very rich folks, they didn't want to see their kids, so they. Basically, when they stayed at the Stanley, they just sent the kids upstairs into the attic, and that was where they stayed.
So that the rest of them could stay downstairs and drink brandy. And
yeah, drink brandy and play pool.
Smoke and
yeah, they had a very fancy pool room. They showed us that, and that was very for the very rich folks who kicked their kids upstairs.
And now normal folks get to show up, presumably having left their kids somewhere else.
Yeah, and they built, they paid like gobs of money to pave the road down to the bottom of the mountain so that these old steamer cars, like steam powered cars, could deliver the guests up to the fancy hotel back up and down. And they paid stupid amounts of money in the 1800s to have the dirt roads paved for these fancy steam cars.
Yeah, how did people get up to Estes? Was there a train?
Yeah, there was a train, I believe, and it was down at the. It didn't go up the mountain because it's kind of pretty high up. I mean,
It's a ways up there.
Yeah, but the train would deliver them to the station, and then the Stanley steamers would go down, pick them up, take them up to the hotel.
It's even today, it's not that easy to get to Estes.
Yeah, you got to go through some kind of curvy mountains to get up.
Yes, I always wondered how they had. What that access was like in the 19th century, and then also like in the whatever time that Stephen King was there.
Yep.
It can't have been that easy to get up there.
Yeah, his was an interesting one too. They explained it out a little bit more. Him and his wife were like about to get a divorce, I guess. I mean, they were on the rocks, and they went to go up past Estes to like up in the Rocky Mountain National Forest up there.
Yeah, I think it's up there, yeah.
Yeah, and they went to go past there, but they encountered like a wall of snow. It was like the last day of the season. And so they drove back down, and it was literally the only place open. And it was a shithole back then. Like, it was in rough shape. The Stanley was about to close. And they're like, "We just need a place to stay because it's late and..." You know, we couldn't make it up
late,
the mountain.
We hate each other and I'm coked
down. Yeah, we goddamn need a place to stay, damn it. And the last, they were like, the night before they closed down, and everything was shut down. No one was left. They had few staff. I mean, They're just like, okay, fine, you can stay in this one room we have open. It was 217, I think. The one that's another one of the haunted ones down on the second floor. But he had, like, horrific nightmares that night. Like, terrifying nightmares. And he couldn't sleep, so he stayed up and basically just wrote the shit out of The Shining. And that's where that came from.
Yeah. As you do.
Yeah. No, it was fun. We learned all kinds of cool facts, and you know, it was a good little.
It's interesting because I thought a while ago, maybe like 2 or 3 years ago, Stanley Hotel was like, "All right, we out of the ghost business. Like, we're done doing all this ghost stuff," or they like toned it down or something for like a year. I don't know where I heard that, but I remember hearing something about that, and I was like, totally like, why would they do that? You know, and it's good to hear that that's not the case. I guess is what I'm getting at. That. They haven't toned it down. They still do the tours. I think the rest of the hotel doesn't have, like, haunted rooms or anything like that, right? Wasn't that kind of like a portioned-off section that has, like, the ghosty stuff?
Yeah, kind of the main building is the one that has sort of the haunted rooms. They have, like, a side building, which was yet, again, more interesting. God, I'm full of facts now that I realize I'll just keep talking. But back in the 1800s, they had a separate – they – single guys – could not stay in the Stanley. They had to have their wives. But they had a bunch of rich single dudes that wanted to come up and stay. So they built like a 2/3 scale building right next to the Stanley. Mm-hmm. It's like the little small one next to it. And that was only for single guys.
Interesting.
Not for couples. But now it's open for people to stay in. But it was interesting that they were like, we can't have single schmucks associated with the prestige of the Stanley. You can't,
we don't
want to
ruin it.
And, yeah, I don't think they're out of the horror business, so necessarily, because they just, like, I think 2016, they built the hedge maze out front, which was kind of a tribute to the Stanley, or to the Shining fans. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of cool, because we were there years ago for a festival, the Renscott's Festival, and we went up and visited, and it was, like, a foot tall hedges, and when we went back this time, they were, like, 6 foot tall hedges. So, like, they grew pretty fast in 4 years.
Yeah, they, when you tend them right, those suckers will grow pretty fast.
Yeah. Anyways.
I've only been to the Stanley Hotel once. It was 9 years ago, and it was for a wedding on Halloween, or near Halloween. And due to a terribly unfortunate combination of events, I woke up that morning of the wedding in Bogota, Colombia, and had to get to the wedding in Estes. So I got up at what was effective, it was 3 a.m. local time, and I can't remember what the time zone was, got on a plane. I don't speak any Spanish, by the way, so it makes it rough being in Colombia. I flew all the way back, and then changed in the parking lot into my wedding guest attire from my traveling attire, the DIA parking lot, and then drove from DIA all the way up to Estes Park and arrived just as the ceremony was finishing and just in time to start the reception. And my goal was to be like, yeah, I'll have like a drink or two and then I'll just drive home at the end. And then I realized that at that point I would have been up for 20 hours. And ended up, fortuitously, there were other people who had gone who don't drink a whole lot, and so I was able to get somebody to drive me home. It was Gary, and I think, drove me home, and Emily drove his car. There was a whole convoluted thing to make that work. But, yeah, that's my story. It was a Halloween-themed party at the Stanley for a wedding.
Nice.
I have not been to the Stanley Hotel at all, but I think it's worth mentioning coincidentally that year that you went to Bogota was the year that I went to Bogota, and I think I had just come back also for wedding related reasons when you took off.
I didn't realize it was the same year. I always thought it was way earlier when you went.
Pretty sure. Oh, you know what, it may have been the year before. Damn it.
Yeah.
Well, never fucking mind.
I've never been to the Stanley or to Bogota, but the year you guys were doing all that shit, I was probably playing a lot of online video games, so I feel like that's kind of relevant somehow.
Yeah.
I think you were working at Coors.
I think I was a child.
Yeah.
There was definitely online video games then.
Yeah.
You were a child, is that what you said? I don't think I was born yet.
Now, you're either working at Coors or you were working at that cutting place.
Cutting place.
That place where you cut rocks?
That goddamn.
Why don't you go cut rocks, okay? All right.
Anyway.
Yeah,
it was fun.
Sounds like a pretty cool Stanley adventure.
That's cool, man.
All right, so I have some interesting food stuff. You guys want to talk about food for the last 10 minutes, or do you want to talk about...
I was just going to ask if you guys want to get coked out and go do a Stanley tour.
Yeah, hell yeah. Yes. We don't need to get coked, but I'll definitely do that.
Okay. I mean, it was
you can
cool.
take me for my birthday.
It's totally worth it.
I'm not going to get the ball rolling that fast, man, I'll be honest. I don't know how to get coke.
Cool. I didn't want coke anyway. That's great. Did you guys hear about Taco Bell introducing their own wine in Canada?
Fucking
I didn't realize
what?
It was Canadian.
That I did not hear
There's,
about.
So, Taco Bell in Canada has come up with this thing from a Canadian vineyard to pair with its new toasted cheesy chalupa, which I assume is like their toasted cheese burrito, but it's a chalupa. And it's called Jalapeno Noir. And it's only available, it'll be available on 9/16, so tomorrow, in Canada, at Taco Bell's in Canada. So, that's the future we're living in right now, is...
Is it a jalapeno wine, or is it just
I don't
called
know.
That?
And that's what I couldn't figure out. So I'm pretty sure it's not a jalapeno wine, because the way that the article talked about it, it was like, it's like fruity and wood pairings that go great with a chalupa flavor.
They're being like, it's not a Pinot Noir, it's a jalapeno noir.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Oh. It is a Pinot Noir. Yes, it is a Pinot Noir.
That's so
it's just
pun.
Called jalapeno
It's a play on words.
Oh, yeah.
I was kind of excited, because, I mean, we tried that... Kendrick and
that,
I.
That green chili wine, yeah.
Yeah. My dad got me a green chili and a red chili wine a while back, and I was kind of scared of it at first. And we popped open that red chili wine, and it was, like, super sweet with this little, like, tangy spice bite right at the end. Oh, it was so good.
Interesting.
We polished that bottle.
That's kind of what I was like.
We had
go ahead, sorry.
No, I seem to remember the green chili being a little more funky, but
that one, it was the taste was a little weirder. It didn't have as much as the bite, which I think didn't really help it, but it was still like good. I at least enjoyed it. I was like, it's a weird thing that I wouldn't have thought of. But go ahead, Kyle. Sorry.
No, I just feel like this is like the kind of polar opposite of like that kind of wine is like that artisan craft wine, right? Like. You'd never see like a green chili wine from like a standard like Yellowtail company, right? Like something that's like making wine a ton.
Absolutely.
And then this is like on the complete opposite end, where you have a company that's never made wine that is known for making like, you know, quick fast food that's apparently co-opted some vineyard in Canada, in Ontario, and is now selling like a limited edition red wine that has notes of wild strawberry, cherry, and beetroot to pair with its toasted cheesy chalupa. And you're like, the fuck just happened? Like this is like this is interesting to me, because I'm wondering how many other places are going to see this and be like, oh, you know what would be cool, like if McDonald's had like a lager they could pair with their Big Mac, or like
who,
you know, if Wendy's had a whiskey to go with their breakfast sandwiches or something like that, you know?
Apparently if Pulp Fiction is to be understood, you can just buy a beer anywhere in Europe. I don't think I remember seeing any fast food that served them. I wonder what the liquor laws are like in Canada.
Yeah.
To support that.
And I don't know if they haven't been really specific about whether or not you can, like, drink it when you buy it, or if you just buy the bottle and then you're supposed to, like, you know, if it's to go, like, or something like that, you know. They just have been saying, you know,
that's
it's sold
like...
for this. It's brewed in 2008, so it's a 2-year vintage or whatever. Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
We went to a restaurant down when we went to my parents' house, and they... I think it was brewed in Alamosa. There's a brewery down there. But they had, like, a jalapeno beer. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, it wasn't messing around, like, just to be paired with jalapeno. It was, like, it would burn your throat type of jalapeno beer.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
And it tasted pretty good, but you couldn't, I mean, one, and you were good. You had to take a break from that thing.
Yeah, it wasn't, like, a casual drinking beer. They all these kind of craft flavor. Spicy smoked things or things that you have to like sip on like whiskey. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but I feel like
I wasn't
paired nicely with like a big old juicy cheese bacon cheeseburger. You know, I think if
something really fatty
like,
and rich,
like a fast food burger that was like, here's this big bacon cheeseburger, and guess what, you get a jalapeno beer on the side.
I'd like a 3-ounce pour of it, Last time I had a chili beer like that, by the end, my stomach was like, it was indigestion central. I just didn't enjoy the experience that much. But like a little 3-ounce pour would be nice. Like, you know, a little
taster. Taster. Like if you got it on a flight, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like a 1 or 2 ounce pour would be great too.
I kind of miss that. Like that, I think I don't really miss going to bars per se, but I miss going to like breweries and tasting like flights. Like, cause that was always a fun part of doing like a beer tour, you know?
I miss draft beer. Mm.
Yeah.
I also
copyright strike
bought booze at a Taco Bell once. My game today is following other people's stories, trying not to one up them too much.
One up away. I just thought it was interesting, so one up away.
I went to one of the few Taco Bell cantinas. I think I talked about this on the podcast, but maybe I didn't.
In Colorado?
No, in Las Vegas.
Okay.
Las Vegas, right off the strip there, or right on the strip there, actually, there's a Taco Bell cantina. It's a 2-floor Taco Bell that has a full liquor license. So you can buy cheap beer, you can buy tequila, and you can get like a Baja Blast, what are those, the slushes they have?
Yeah, I think I know what you're doing.
Yeah, from Mountain Dew, Baja Blast.
And you can get it as a slushy with tequila in it.
That's basically a weird version of the poor man margarita that we used to make, the Mountain Killias and the...
Yeah, Mountain Killia, yeah. And I think you could actually get that, too. I think basically their entire beverage menu, you could just pour tequila into it, and then you're good. Logistically, it was terrible because the ordering kiosks kept failing, and they didn't know how to order alcohol to the kiosk because they had to, like, card you, but they didn't. It wasn't very well organized. But the fact that I got to sit with my my London buddy and my former boss... and we're just chilling on a couch upstairs in a Taco Bell, drinking boozy slushies and just eating fistfuls of Taco Bell food. It's like, this is like the best parts of college all over again.
Yeah, that's kind of what it would remind me of too. I don't want to, yeah, because I used to do that all the time. Like, go to Taco Bell, get a bunch of junk food, and then pour tequila in the drink that I had, and then like play WoW or watch TV or whatever for the rest of the night.
Yeah. Well, fantastic. On that note, everybody,
that was
good
a
luck
good
titling this one.
Yeah.
Good luck titling this one. That's probably what you're going to call it.
Call it. I hope it. Kev's episode about the Stanley Hotel and Kendrick tries not to one up everybody.
I think I run out of words at one point in the title, but you know.
Fucking do it.
Like, comment, and subscribe, everybody. Go to the Stanley Hotel. Don't lick the doorknobs.
Yeah, don't do that.
If you see that ghost, he'll give you a little kiss on the head. Don't worry, he's just anxious. He's got ghost stuff to worry about.
What you have to know is that if he does kiss you, you will die.
Well.
Bye now.